Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about a few ways to socialize a little bit better to make you better at relationships, as well as having your relationships in the bedroom. As always, topics include, how do you become the most likable person in the room and still be true to who you are? So, you're dating a married couple. How do you manage that situation? What can you do to start getting past your trauma and into your pleasure? And ways to talk to your partner about your desire for more sexual exploration. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You can check out our podcasts, our blog posts. You can enter our contest, you guys. We've got a lot of Valentine's Day coming up. You can find it on the website, our social media, at Sex with Emily. You guys are going to want these goodies. You can also check out the podcast now wherever you listen to podcasts. We are there. And check me out on SiriusXM Radio Stars, channel 109, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific, 8 to 10 East. God, I love doing the show, you guys. If you want a free 30-day trial, go to sexwithemily.com/SXM, or you can still call in at those times, 888-947-8277, because I'm answering your calls. Like I said, follow us on social media, at Sex with Emily, everywhere. Enjoy the show. We wanted to talk to you about a few things that I thought would cheer you up and help you in literally any life situation you find yourself in if you're trying to make friends, date. When you're going for the holidays, you're meeting someone's parents for the first time, relatives, this is how you do it. How do you become a more likable person? We often are like, God, you know, going into a new crowd where I meet new people, but a lot of us have social anxiety. I think social anxiety, I don't know if people are talking about it more or if it's just more common now because we're all on our goddamn phones all the time that we actually have so many reasons not to socialize because we're ordering everything comes to us.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
I think it's everything. But there are some things that I thought would just be great to remind you if you don't know this other already and how to become more like, how to be just a more likable person in life. Because I'm sure you are likable. Your friends love you. Your family loves you. But do you ever meet people where you're like, why didn't I hit it off? Number one thing I'm going to tell you about is complimenting. Compliment others genuinely and often. I think whenever you meet someone, there's always something positive that you can find out about. There's always something that you're seeing like about them that you could say, you know, like, I like your, the way you gave that speech. Let's say you're at a meeting. Like, I love the way you gave that speech. Or you're at a party. I heard you were in charge of the casserole dip. It's really great. Or flattery. Like, you know, be specific in your comments rather than, God, you're so pretty. Like, your eyes are such a cool color. Are those blue or green? I mean, when you're specific and you pay attention, when you sincerely appreciate something about them and you tell them, I mean, how good does that feel? That makes you super likable when it's genuine. And I think I automatically like someone who likes me,
mm-hmm.
who found something charming in me, something, it just feels good. And compliments are like my favorite thing, even in relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Compliment me often. Compliments, like 10 times a day.
Compliments will get you far. And one, it's a great conversation starter because you notice, you make an observation. You notice it, you make a comment on it, and then it can kind of spur you into that conversation. And two, it's going to make that person who was also probably feeling a little anxious feel better because they already are like, oh, they really liked my shirt. I like them for liking something about
me. Exactly. Like, God, they have good taste that they liked my shirt because they... Right?
Yeah, I liked my shirt.
Exactly.
So.
I like my shirt. And they like my shirt. So just remember that compliments go a long way. And then Jamie and I were talking about this before. And it's like, I often just do it. Like, I'll stop someone. I'll be walking. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, God, a great outfit. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I love that. And I just, why not, you guys? Be more genuine and be more abundant in what you're giving to people. And it comes back to you.
Yeah.
That is the truth. The other thing is ask more questions about others than you make statements about yourself. Mm-hmm. This is so key. We all like talking about ourselves, right? Like, I know that we all do like talking about ourselves, and that's, I think, why we often do talk about ourselves. But when you're meeting someone, you want to approach a conversation like it's not all about you, like, unleashing or revealing something, all these things about yourself, but know that, like, think about, like, it's a way to get to know people better. So asking questions about them. And it's easy. Like, if you meet someone, you're like, so tell me about yourself. You know, after you meet someone, like, remember what you learned about them. Like, if I meet someone, I'm like, well, what do you love about your job? I'll often say to them.
Well, I think it's all about the follow-up questions, too. Like, follow-up questions show that you're, like, genuinely interested in what the person has to say. And it kind of shows that you're actively listening. You're not just, like, waiting for that person to shut up so that you can talk.
Exactly.
It shows, like, this genuine interest. And I've had to actually I wasn't trying to bring the conversation back to myself, but a lot of times, like, someone would say something, you'd be like, oh yeah, you know, this one time this happened to me, because I was trying to make whatever they said feel more relatable. But like, I've realized that I don't necessarily always have to do that.
Yeah. It's a fine line. Mm-hmm. It is a fine line between, and I know exactly what you're saying, in conversation, it's a fine line be saying like, like, if someone's saying, well, I went on this trip and our flight was delayed, and they're telling you a story, you're like, oh my God, the same thing happened to me. And you take it back to yourself because you're like, I want them to know that we are the same, mm-hmm. and we're relatable. Sometimes you just got to let the person talk. Like, they're telling you a story. They don't need to know that it also happened to you. That's a fine. But then there's that. And then there's also, you really want to be relatable to someone, because if they're having a problem or a challenge, mm-hmm. you know, you could say, this might be useful to you. This happened to me as well, and here's how I dealt with it. So that's the distinction, rather than just brave. You're that person who brings it back to yourself all the time just because. That can be really annoying and make you definitely less likable.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just feels like someone's not listening. Assume that people have something to teach you. Now, I've been like at situations where I'm like on a bad first date, I'm not at a fun party, I don't like where I'm at, I could be at the goddamn airport or something with a delayed flight, but... The thing is, assume in life that everyone has something to teach you, even if it's like reinforcing something that you already know. Like, I don't want to talk to this person. Let me try it. Yep, I have good instincts not to talk to people who are rude to the flight attendant or whatever it is. They do have to teach you, and everything, you know, like I said, if you're on a bad date, no connection, you can learn. If they work in a field that you've never heard of, you don't know how they got there, you're interested, just ask them. Ask questions. And, you know, I've learned a lot of my greatest lessons from the people I've met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for advice. So if you're with someone and you're like, it could be a date, it could be at a party, it could be just being likable, we all want to feel like we're helpful. So if you ask someone for like wisdom or guidance, you're potentially going to receive some great advice for yourself, but you're also making someone else feel good. Because I think when we all feel like we can be of service, like, I love what I do here, because I know, like, it feels, it's my life. Like, I love helping all of you. Like, it's what gives me purpose. And I think that we all have a part of ourselves that want to, you know, be of service. We all crave to be useful and helpful and make a difference in the world in ways big and small.
Mm-hmm. I feel like people constantly are probably, though, when you're out and they find out what you do, they're asking you for advice.
I'm like, I'm not working right now. No, I actually can't help. It's funny, though. Yeah, sometimes it's a bit much, but mostly I still enjoy it out in the world. But there are nights where I'm like, you know what? Right now I'm not working and I'm exhausted.
Do you have like have you ever thought about just being like kind of coming up with a different occupation for yourself when
Don't
want to
I do.
Give
I
advice?
Say like, I'm a producer.
or I've said that for a long time. Like, a lot of times I'm in Uber, like, what do you do? And I know, because I've had the majority of my Uber experiences, I end up giving them sex or relationship advice, because I'm like, well, they're driving, maybe they'd want to listen to a podcast or a radio show, or I just like helping. But when I'm tired or whatever, I don't tell them. But I've helped many an Uber driver.
That could be a show, all of them in itself.
It could be. Literally, if you tell anyone, you're like, oh, whoa, I've had a question. What do you think I should do about this? Should I break up with my girlfriend or not? Like, they full on have pulled over and showed me texts, like, should I do this or that? You know, the other thing is that trying to stop trying to impress. This is a tough one, because I think a lot of us are defined by what we own, what we have, you know, what we've earned, and we feel like that defines us. And so we think we've got to tell everyone else, like, we got to make them envious of us because that's how we define ourselves by what we have, but that does not help facilitate really healthy connections. So I think about it this way. Instead of telling people, like, what you have or what you do, you can share with them, like, what you care about, what gets you excited, like, what you think is interesting, rather than, like, things that you've accomplished and things that you own. But just think about, it's kind of like sex in a way. If you're trying to, like, perform during sex, I was trying to think, like, are you guys like, why are you telling me this? Like, but think about all these things. If you're trying to perform during sex and you're just doing what you've always done, and instead of just being yourself, or you're like, I saw this in porn, so I'm going to make this noise like a porn star, and you're not being yourself, like, that's not going to be genuine either. People truly, it's a buzzword now, but it's true. Authenticity means that you are being real and you're sharing an experience about your, you know, a commonality maybe that other people would share with you, that what you love, your heart, your what you think, what you believe in. That's how connections start, not because your fancy watch or car.
And honestly, I feel like a lot of people can spot out a bullshitter more than they think.
Yeah?
I think so. I can usually tell if someone's, you know, just fucking feeding me stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, same.
And I think a lot more people are more in tune with that. Like, you can kind of tell, like, there's just this different feeling about a person when they're being genuinely, like, just cool in themselves and not throwing out all these things to be like, look how cool I am.
Exactly. I totally, and it's very much in LA. That's interesting. Like, in LA, you see that when people are like, in this business, or I've got this deal, or I've got this book, or I've got this thing happening. Like, to me, I want everyone to be successful. I do, but I'd rather hear about what excited you about it. Like, when people are just dropping things, or like, I've got this agent, I've got this manager, I've got this writer. Like, I just never, even when I had the series show coming, I wasn't like, I've got this show. I'm like, wait till you hear it. Like, but here's what I love doing. At the end of the day, I love helping people with sex and relationships. And then people will, you know, if you've done something impressive in your life, or you're a good person, you know, people are going to know, they're going to see, they're going to ask questions. Like, it all happened if you're genuine and, you know, people are going to connect with you.
I think these are, like, great tips for dating.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely for dating. On a first date, like, you can always think, if even it's bad, what could I learn from them? Let me just ask a lot of questions. Let me actually be honest about who I am. Because I'm never going to... Maybe there's people who are different in this way, but to me, a guy and all of his accomplishments and what he's done has never been the most attractive thing about him. I'm looking for, like, a real, like... chemistry, attraction. But if they're just like listing things, I think the same goes for everyone when you're on a date. Like, it's a practice being authentic and real. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your calls. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J, and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
This one is an interesting call. This is for her name. I love her name, by the way. Her name is Elite. She's 25 in California, and she's dating a married couple.
Okay. Let's Elite.
Yes.
Tell me everything.
Hi, it's Elise.
Oh, Elise. Hi, sorry. Elise.
Yeah, so she reached out to me over FET and
FET Life. Just for our listeners at home. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
And she's a sub and he's a dom and then I'm a sub. And my question is, what's the best way to develop a relationship with them both individually, but then also respect their relationship that's already established?
Well, honestly, I think that this is a conversation that three of you have together. So if you are just getting to know them, what boundaries do they have set up in this relationship? What are the values? Are you over there certain nights a week? Are they cool if you go out with the guy alone? You know what I'm saying? So it's more like finding out more about what's going to work for all of you, because you don't want to piss anyone off. You don't want to be like, oh, well, I had a dinner with the husband to get to know him. And then she's like, we said you can't have individual meals. So it's really more about being authentic, I think, and saying, I really want this relationship to work. I've never done anything like this before, been like a third in a relationship. So, but I also, for me to feel, and I think what you're saying, Elise, is that for you to really feel like you're a part of it, you want to have some intimacy with both of them. You want to build the relationship so you know them both, right?
Yeah, so her and I would just be friends. We wouldn't be intimate, and then him and I would be.
Oh,
eventually.
Okay. Got it. So I see. Okay, well, I think that then, so who's in? So he's the one who's sort of calling the shots? Or they both decided that you're coming in? So this confused me. So you're only having sex with him?
Yeah.
Okay, and not with her? Because she... Yep. Is she going to be watching? Is she going to be around? What's their fantasy?
Well, it's more of the idea is more of a sister-wife kind of
right, thing. Right, sister-wife, got it. Okay. Yeah, so she's, okay. I think you got to talk to her first.
Yeah.
And ask her what, and she could probably tell you a lot about what her husband wants too. So I think that the whole thing about the sister-wife is that she's really your go-to. I'd say she's your boss in this situation.
So, yeah, but then she's also a sub, so I'm not really sure how that plays into it as well, because then he technically is the one that has all the power.
Well, I think, but that's sexually. I would think that there must be ways that she's a dom in the relationship. If she's the one who allowed this to happen, I would believe that maybe she's a dom in other ways. Although I'm not really sure. You're going to have to talk to them about it, but I think either if you feel comfortable, who initiated your contact first? Who's the one who you first talked to? He did? Okay.
No, she did.
She did. Reached out to me. Yeah, I think she's the one. You know, check in. So you guys have open communication. Say, I'm not really sure who would talk to first, but I want, for me, it's tell her what it's important to you. I would love to have this, connection with you, make sure that we're all in the same boundaries and rules. And this is going to be the kind of thing I can tell you, Elise, that you're going to have to keep talking about as this gets started. Because, people can tell you one thing and then you might be there and they're acting totally different. So keep checking in so you can start making the good first steps to build that healthy relationship. So how do you feel about this, though? I have a question, because there's a lot of you are listening going, what? Sister wife? I don't get it. It's not really that known of a concept. So can you kind of explain what your idea of what's going to be happening?
My motives behind it is I really like the way that it puts me into the relationship. I have to go in very selfless and very mindful of them. And I like that. Like, I like that I can still have my needs met, but I'm also not a jealous person. So there's nothing that, like a lot of, there's a couple couples who, like, don't show PDA in front of each other, but, like, we're not like that, because I think that if he's a better husband to her, then he was, like, a good partner for me as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, it does. So are you going to be living with them?
Kind of. He's in the military, so it's a little bit harder depending on, like, where they're stationed, if they're off base or on base.
Got it. Okay, well, it sounds like there's still some more information to find out, but I think that, you know, let me know how it goes. I'd love to hear more about this, Elise, as it evolves. But just remember that you have to keep asking, even those things that you think you can't say or you can't ask. This is a really, like, having three people that in a relationship takes a lot more communication. So I can't tell you specifically what it is, but I can tell you to ask and figure it out together, the three of you. Don't guess.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Elise. Thanks for calling Sex with Emily.
This is Laura, who's 28. She said she's been with her boyfriend for 13 years, and she can't seem to get in the mood.
Hey, Laura. How can I help you? Thanks for calling.
Hi, girls.
Hey.
So, yeah, you know, I've been with, I lost my virginity with him, to him. And, you know, we have three kids, but then it's just so hard for me to want to have sex with him. And I know it's not that hard. And I know you're talking about confidence and stuff like that, which I know it's something I need to work on. I don't have any confidence in myself, like in my appearance. And I know it probably affects it, but I feel so bad for him. And then right. I don't know what to do.
No, okay. No, Laura, you've come to the right place. Welcome. Okay, so you guys have been together a long time and you have three kids. How old are your kids? Yes. Young kids?
8, 3, and 5 months.
Oh my God. Okay. I mean, of course you don't want to have sex right now and you're not feeling great about yourself. So just, you know.
But it's been going on for a while.
Right.
I feel like I've put on some weight. Yeah. I mean, I'm probably like 20, 30 pounds heavier. And it's just, you know, he tells me I'm beautiful all the time. You know, he's not perfect.
Right,
you know,
right.
He makes me feel, you know, beautiful, but yet it's me. Like,
yeah.
I look at myself and I just don't like the, you know, person staring back at me.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's confidence. So it's not that, you know, here's the thing. Our partners can also affirm us and tell us we're beautiful all the time, but self-confidence is an inside job. We have to truly believe, you know, we have to learn to love ourselves. So there's a few things here, Laura. I mean, you've been busy. I mean, first of all, you've been with them for 13 years. So anybody who's been with somebody for 13 years can tell you that they don't want to have sex all the time. It's really hard to keep it interesting because you can't go back to how it was in the beginning when it was amazing and prioritizing your sex life.
You're
and
like
working.
Rabbit.
Yeah, exactly. And then we all like bemoan that time and we wish we could go back. So first of all, I got to ask, have you talked to your husband about any of this? Like that you kind of feel like you're not always, you know, he probably knows you're not in the mood, but have you talked about a plan?
Not a plan. Like he knows and he kind of, and then when we are getting to it and like, you know, about the kids and I feel like I self-sabotage, but when we actually do have time, it's like, I don't know why I do that. And it's just like, I don't ever want to have sex. And he always wants to have sex.
Right, of course. No, I get it. So here's the thing, Laura. What sounds to me what's happened is you've been busy having kids. So you've got a lot of things here that are challenge, you know, that we're going to have to talk about is that go, first of all, please take the pressure off yourself and have some compassion and love towards yourself, knowing that 13 years with the same person, you're 28. Three kids, you know, young kids, and a five-month-old. I mean, that's a lot to do. There's a lot of different things to unpack here. So just know that wouldn't be easy for anybody. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing like, you know, you're not a bad person. You've been busy being a mom. So some things that could help, I think, are making sure that you the reason why you don't want to have sex right now is probably because you're exhausted. Your body probably isn't clearly not back to how it was. You're 5 months in. But then also, it's like we have to keep our pilot light lit, as I say. So there's probably part of it just doesn't feel sexual at all. And that would mean that like masturbating and making that time to like feel sexy again. Because what happens is your husband wants sex because, you know, that's how men are. He sees you, he gets turned on, but you've just kind of been shut down. And so there's going to have to be some rebuilding of your confidence and your sexual confidence by like letting him know that either, you know, talks with him that you just, you haven't been feeling sexy and that you'd like to kind of get back to that place. So work on some intimacy and some touching with him without maybe taking intercourse off the table. Because for women, what turns us on a lot, like he comes in, he wants sex. Of course, you're not ready for sex. You're exhausted, tired. You haven't wanted in a while. We need to get aroused and turned on. So like, I think maybe bringing back some foreplay and intimate touch without the pressure of intercourse, like probably some of the things that turned you on in the beginning. And
And then I also have this one thing. It's just like, you know what? I was molested as a girl.
Okay.
I was young. And then the thing is, I cannot touch my breast.
You like, can't touch your body?
I take a shower. And I just have this, like I have this nasty gut feeling. And that's one of the things as well. Like I don't, he can't touch my breast.
Breasts. Huh. Okay. Yes, so you've had trauma.
I just have a deep gut feeling.
Oh, wow. Okay. So have you ever had therapy?
You know what? I actually had my first, hypnotherapy. Mm. Hypnotherapy yesterday.
Okay.
But
what was the goal of it? Is it a regular therapist that does, like, are you going there for a specific purpose? Are you trying to quit something or change something with it?
No, no, it's self-confidence, and I'm like, when I can't be near like a man, I just get like, I don't trust men.
Okay, well, this, what I think would be helpful for you, Laura, is a kind of therapy called EMDR. I don't really know about hypnotherapy. I guess I know some people think it could work maybe for quitting smoking and stuff. I like the track you're going on, but EMDR is eye movement desensitization reprocessing. And it's a really, it's a trauma therapy that works so well for people with sexual trauma. And essentially you go in and you talk about the trauma, but they do this thing called reprocessing, and you hold these little buzzers in each hand and they talk you through the trauma, and you learn to, you essentially rewire your brain, because trauma is, it's really, and it's, I would try to find someone near you that does this kind of therapy, because it works wonders for people with trauma, and you have to be in this therapy. The good news is this therapy works a lot faster than talk therapy. But I think it's clearly, this is what's going on among the other things of long-term relationship and not feeling sexual. But it sounds like you may have never felt that sexual or turned on since you've had trauma. And so I think that going to this, I mean, I love that you're already in therapy. So let's maybe try to mix up the therapy that you're doing and see if this could help you. Because trauma is real.
Okay.
Yeah. So that might also help you. And it works pretty quickly, like a few months time of really sticking to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm sure that has to do with a lot of this. So let's start there, okay? EMDR. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Laura. Yeah, thanks.
I wrote that down.
Yeah, and we can put a link.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. We can. Thank you for calling, Laura. Keep me posted. Get into this therapy. We can put a link in the show notes. I think there's like a main EM, if you Google it, like an EMDR site we could put in the show notes that has like EMDR practitioners near you. And it's been around for a long time now, EMDR. I mean, maybe about 20 years, but I'd say in the last 10 to 15 it's been, it's EMDR.com. I think it's become, like a lot of people are saying, not just myself, that it works wonders, because if you are dealing with sexual trauma, no matter how old you are, and you know this trauma happened, it is having an impact on your sex life right now. And it's because our body has attached, our brains have attached to the trauma, and it's really hard to have a healthy sex life, and it helps you release it. And, you know, there is some talk in it for sure, and talking it through. Unfortunately, it's not the kind of thing we can figure out ourselves. As much as we try to repress the memories and things that have happened to us with trauma, it's a very specific animal that we just kind of got to rewire so we can have healthy sex and relationships.
Okay, we have Adam, who's 28 in New York, and he wants to know how to deal with FOMO in his relationship.
Hey, Adam, thanks for calling. FOMO, fear of missing out. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Okay, so what are you missing out on?
Honestly, I was kind of a late bloomer. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 25. Should probably say I'm bisexual, too.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it came from that, just hiding my sexuality and everything.
Okay.
And this is my first serious relationship with a guy, and I just don't really feel like I got much of a chance to explore my sexuality completely before this.
Okay.
We are monogamous.
Oh, you're monogamous. Okay.
And he's... We've talked about, like, in a threesome with a guy because he's gay and doesn't want anything to do with girls, unfortunately. But, okay. I just don't really know. We're getting ready to move cross-country, and he shuts down a lot when we have, like, hard conversations. So
that's really tough. So are you sure? How long have you been with this guy, Adam?
2 years.
Okay. And you're certain you want to move cross-country with him right now?
Yeah, we both, he needs to move for his job, and I just kind of want to move in general.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I get that. And I get wanting to move. I just want to make sure that if you guys are happy. Okay, cool.
The guilt's coming from the move, you know, potentially.
Have you tried to, like, you say the guilt is coming from the move?
Moving and not letting him know how I feel.
Yeah, I think it's really important to let him know right away how you feel. And tell him, that's how you do it, you know, in a really loving way. And just say, you know, I know it's not easy to talk about these things, but it's really important that we learn to break through these hard conversations. And I see that, you know, my experience of you is that you shut down. And that's really hard for me because I'm trying to feel safe with you and have these conversations because I know that's how we're going to continue to have a really healthy relationship. And I'm just, you know, what I would need from you is, and you could kind of fill that in, like let him know what it looks like to not shut down. You know what I mean? So he might not even get what that means because he's probably been shutting down his whole life. Maybe his parents were shut down. That's typically how we learn. And so maybe letting him know what you need, like, as far as words, or, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any tips on, like, how to deal with, like, being bisexual enough? I don't know, like, how do you get that part of your sexuality out?
Well, that's the thing.
The other partner. Yeah.
I mean, you have to, you know, Adam, this seems really important to me because when you started out saying that you're a late bloomer, you didn't have sex when you were 25, and so you really only had a year. So you had a year.
Because not even
a year. And you got locked up.
I got with him like pretty much 3 months after I started having sex.
Okay. So then how do you even know you're bisexual? Like have you been with women?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think this is a super.
Not very often.
Right.
It's only been a few times.
Okay. So I mean, Adam, just know that you're totally, like, you absolutely should be able to have this conversation with him because I don't want you, if you're already having the FOMO right now that you're missing out, then honor that. Like, you trust what your body is telling you. Trust what your mind is telling you, that you're going to need some more experience. Like, does he know that you're bisexual?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and the fact that you're monogamous, then there's got to be some kind of way that you can still be experiment. So maybe being monogamous is not what you're going to need right now. And so this is going to be a series of conversations that you're going to have with him. So I would just start by saying that it's really hard for me when you shut down. This is how I experience it. And then continue to, when do you guys move?
Whenever Trump decides to stop being a little...
Okay.
Waiting on my house to close.
Got it. Okay. Well, Adam, I would try to have these conversations, you know, tonight when he comes home. Like, I think that you know this too, because it sounds like you just have this yearning and you start out saying it's FOMO. Like, I want you to have that too because you know, you started late in your words. And so, yeah, and see how he reacts to that because, you know, maybe he's had more experience and he thinks you're the one and he's ready to be monogamous. But sometimes we go along with that because it feels really... Yeah, and it feels good to be wanted and needed, and you jumped into monogamy, which I understand, but maybe that's not serving you right now. And so maybe there's also a way to open it up. It sounds like it's not. And I want you to get what you need in this relationship as well. And that takes practice. And it starts with conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam, you're right. You're right here. You're absolutely right to be wanting to have this conversation. It sounds really healthy, and I love that you know what you need.
Thank you.
Okay, you're so welcome, Adam. Thanks for calling. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a difficult situation.
Yeah.
When you do have, you know, your bisexuality and you start late, and it'd be different if he had all of his experiences and he just was like, oh, I'm just with a man right now and that's cool. but just
but
like
he
not,
hasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's
that's why I was like, did you already move? You know, I'm not going to tell anyone right away you should break up with someone or you shouldn't do this or that. I don't do that on the show unless it's like a really serious abuse. So I wanted to hear where he was at. But I'm also saying that we often, it's a very common to like kind of just want to be loved and be with someone monogamously. But if you know in your heart that you're having this craving, you're 28 years old or you got to, you know, you got to go. Figure out your, that's how you figure out what you like in bed. What you're into is by having exploratory sex.
So if you say you were in Adam's situation right now and you are bisexual and the person that you're with like is only attracted to one sex and then you decide that you want to try to open it up, would you then also like, I guess it would be a case by case basis, like have to, because like then you're also still seeing other people besides your partner. So then would your partner, even though they're not bisexual and they're just going after one sex, would you allow them to see people as well?
Yeah, case by case basis. We have to see what his partner wants to do. You know, like maybe, yeah, maybe, I guess you would have to, right? I mean, if your partner, doesn't really matter on the gender of the person, if you both decide to see other people, I guess his boyfriend could see other men. Mm-hmm. And he said he offered up a threesome, but it sounds like maybe he's more curious about the woman part of it, yeah, which I totally understand. If he's, and he said he came out at 25 and then locked this down right after 2 years, you know, right away. So yeah, I think he knows his answer. You know, you got to keep exploring, I think. Thanks everyone for listening. I hope you enjoy the show. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Samantha, Julia, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.